Well, Mike, there's no perfect script, but as an agent, and you know, Patrick being honest, and I think everyone in Winnipeg, from the Blake Wheeler to what you heard from Paul Maurice, has said the right hockey things. But you know, do you reach out to your client, and go, "Oh man, you should have held back," or do you just go, "Hey, be yourself, and we'll deal with it"?
Well, you know, Patrick has been an interviewee that would be available at the rink and hardly ever off the ice and away from the rink. And in Finland, you know, for a country of 5 million people, you know, the scrutiny or the, you know, talk about the hockey players is on par or ahead of the hockey players in Canada, right? It is the game in Finland. And as an example, you know, they won the world championships. I think 3 of the 5 million people watched the game, right? So when you go to Finland, as we obviously do, in the summertime, these players, NHL guys playing, Finnish kids from, they're playing the NHL, are in the tabloids all the time. So Patrick went through, you know, pretty tough year last year because everybody expected him to score 50 or 60 goals. And, you know, he's trying to explain away what happened or at least defend himself a little bit. And that's an impossible thing to do. And then, you know, when the writer takes it to another step or a false conclusion and takes a shot at guys, then, you know, that's not Patrick's intent and certainly not what he said. A case in point is this, and it's very simple. You know, they make a point about primary assists, and they also link it to Patrick's 110 goals. Well, you know, 40% of those goals, I don't know the total, but like that or more, 45%, are power play goals. And, you know, Brian Little's not on the ice for those, so he can't participate. So, you know, I didn't read the article. I got a little smattering of a thumb sketch. And that's the problem with, you know, tiptoeing into this arena, and you're right, rather not, because it's never going to solve or you know, I mean, it's like our political structure in the United States. You know, you throw out an issue, 50% are on this side, 50% on that side, it's all noise, you know, and why bother is essentially the thing. So I think the writer took an unfortunate slant. Patrick reached out to Brian immediately and just said, hey, I wasn't trying to, whatever he said to him in his words, but they're more than fine. And, you know, that's hockey, right? What can I tell you, right? These guys are all, you know, to coin a phrase, alpha males. That's why they're there. They wouldn't be there if they weren't. And they get frustrated and angry and, you know, they want more and everybody wants more. So, you know, I leave that stuff in the room with the people who need to address it, and I push them to address it, right? So I was in a room once, and, you know, we did what we did, and our decisions were our decisions, right or wrong or indifferent. And, you know, so to answer your question, yeah, I sort of push it back on them and say, you know, I didn't know that this was coming out, but, you know, you're not trying to squelch or control things. But, you know, when there's problems in a dressing room, and when I say problems, every team every month has an issue, and maybe I could say every week every team has an issue, right? Issues are, you know, there's 22-3 guys in that dressing room. There's a coaching staff. There's the management, general manager. Figure it out, right? You guys need to figure it out.
Mike,
Mike,
you got the two-est high-profile RFAs out there, Laine and Mikko Rantanen, and both these guys, great job on their entry-level deals. Obviously, you don't got a deal. Can you give us an update on negotiations, where they are at? And we got some pressure points coming up the regular season around the corner, Mike.
Yeah, there's, can I give you an update? We're not close. How about that? That's about as much you're going to get out of me. And they're high-profile guys. There's a guy in Calgary and a guy in Tampa, I think, are pretty high-profile as well. So, there's nothing happened that we didn't know was going to happen. Nothing has gone on that we didn't anticipate. This is just there's term, there's AAV, there's structure, and, you know, clubs have to manage their cap. We have to, represent our clients, and you know, we have our convictions, they have theirs. You know, generally these things get done when people move. If one side doesn't move, or that both sides don't want to move, then it doesn't get done. Right? Until such time as it needs to get done.
Mike Liut here with us on Sportsnet 650. In the last few days, you see Mitch Marner re-up with the Toronto Maple Leafs. You see Brock Besser re-up here in Vancouver with the Canucks. Very different looking deals, one for 6 years, one for 3 years, respectively. Do those have any sort of impact? Like, can you look at those and find any sort of comparables with respect, whether it's term, whether it's dollars, with what a couple of these gentlemen just signed for?
Well, okay, you have max term for signing with your club is 8 years, and the analytics people have convinced the NHL that these are the guys you want, the 20-somethings. And when I played, you made more money at the end of the career than you did in the prime of your career, just the way it was. Now players are making their money when they can perform, and when they get to 30-ish, they start to fall off the wagon, an injury, a down year, and their value drops significantly. So when you talk about an 8-year deal, we've done all of them and things in between over the years. And when you talk about 8 years for a 21 or 22-year-old, 23-year-old, now you're blowing them right through all of their peak earning years. So it makes it, you know, people have come to a heightened awareness of that idea. Vancouver got whacked with a recapture, which significantly altered their ability to their flexibility. And the Leafs, is there a comparable? Yes, I think that Mitch Marner and Mikko Rantanen are probably the two closest comparables in terms of how they play the game, where you have wingers who are adept at creating offense for those that they're playing with. And they do it maybe a little bit differently. I mean, Mikko's, 225 and Mitch is not, but Mitch is a terrier and he's a great player. And the Leafs have really looked into the future. I mean, you're going to have a salary cap at 81.5. There's been no growth factor, 0.5%. It's going to go, history is showing us what the league does on a year over year basis. It's going to, 2.5% revenue growth. So you're 83, 85, 87 and change. And then we're going to get a new TV package and you're going to be 93. And, your top line, your top three players, whether they're defensemen or forwards, are going to be in that range that the Leafs have created. Now, they're doing it maybe because they can. And that's cap management. I mean, you're going to have players that have not gotten there yet, and for 2 or 3 years, you've got this window. You have this window where you can spend to keep it rolling, and then you're going to have to make adjustments going forward. And if the cap rises to meet that demand, you're good. But that's the bet that you're making, and that's the business. You know, the flexibility in dealing with players is fairly limited individually, but as you move the players around the board, what you should have and what will be the trend is it's going to be like a junior club. You're rolling your team in and out every 4 years. You're not staying with the same group for extended periods of time. Now you have to decide who you're going to keep and who you're going to trade or trade places, and what depends on what you develop in your minor league team. And all of these pieces are the flexibility and the pressures that clubs have, and that's their job to do. Right. And that's what we're seeing. So, you match up players and you say, this is who they are. All the contracts are relevant. They're all part of the landscape, and you have to, but it still comes down to what the club wants to do. And there's certain pressure points and, on both sides, and, people have to come to a decision on what works for them.
Hey, Mike, clarify for our listeners, and I know you want to get your guys back to North America as soon as possible, but, those two star players in Ratton and Laine, comfortable in Europe. Could they sign to play with a European team and have an out clause as soon as they got an NHL deal done, they could leave?
Well, you can do that, but, I don't foresee that happening. European team doesn't necessarily want to do that because it becomes somewhat disruptive, unless they had a need, i.e. they have an import that's injured and will be back in a month and they need a 1 month replacement. You know, we could do that. But having said that, these are NHL players and Europe is not the NHL. So it has limited interest and benefit for them to play in a game. That's not likely to happen. If they're going to do that, they're going to stay there for a year, and we're not anywhere near that.
Mike, do you worry? Marner said social media was killing him. He'd go out and he was getting a lot of negative feedback on social media. You got to deal with this, Mike. You didn't when you played the game, but you got to deal with this social media stuff. Are you concerned that sometimes the fans turn on the player? We saw a little bit here with Besser. We saw with Marner. Are you worried about that?
No, not in the least, not for a second. That's the beauty of professional sports. Professional sports, as we're talking about it, is it's interactive, right? It's the best reality show ever because we don't know. It's unscripted. We don't know how it's going to go, and the fans are engaged, and the fans have an opinion. They're entitled to their opinion. They can say whatever they want, and for every fan that's going to be positive, there'll be one that's negative, and that's just the makeup of there's two sides to it, right? Somebody agrees with it, somebody disagrees with it, and you know, you can't be, you know, there isn't, you know, a prevailing pressure that's going to sway anybody, and you know, that's noise. That's what I'm talking about. You got it. The noise is the noise, and we don't engage in it, even though you know the media, you know. That's the other interactive part of it. They want to be informative. The fans want to know. Everybody needs to know, wants to know, and it's up to us to filter all that out and get the work done.